and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. By the way, this hour brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. It's a must for my computer. It should be for yours, too. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac, whatever you're connected to the internets, the interweb tubes. Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for my special... not me. Right. Enter the code, please.
Yes. The Ted Stevens series of tubes.
For my special 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription, Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Everybody, you can email us all at thebig, StephanieMiller.com, executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice Deedee, Jim Ward, or associate producer Rebecca Taylor. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello, bane of my existence.
Hello.
Miss Wheelchair.
Yeah, now I have to push you around everywhere.
You know what? She could have a better bedside manner, really. She's really not the candy striper of the Stephanie Miller
show. No, she's not.
All right, you wouldn't treat me this way if I wasn't on this mobility scooter. All right, by the by, Face the Grayson coming up in less than half an hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, hop on those lines. We'll have to see if he considers himself professional left or unprofessional left like me.
Well, he thinks Robert Gibbs should be fired.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
Oh, we'll talk to him about all that. Mm-hmm. All right, so lots going on. The judge is going to rule today on whether gay marriage can resume here in California.
Yep.
So we will be waiting for that. By the way, so Steven Slater, speaking of...
the JetBlue flight attendant, right?
The gay JetBlue flight attendant who was caught having sex with his boyfriend after going out down the inflatable slide with the beers.
By the way...
Rebecca thinks of that every day. You can see it in her thought bubble right now. She's like, I could get an inflatable slide in here so fast.
I've got and a huge pack of Heineken just waiting for me to bail out of here.
And I just dared him to do it because he was, I'm just saying, he was using the MF word about somebody who was screwing with his computer.
Well, it's the station's computer, but they keep downloading porn onto it, and therefore they download viruses.
If you were a man, you'd get on that mic right now and say to the mother who's with my mother computer, I quit, and then you'd go out there.
Yes. By the way, the flight attendant?
Yes.
The gay flight attendant who was caught having sex?
Yes, Steven Slater.
Yes. His ex-wife is going to be on Good Morning America this morning.
Oh, Rebecca.
Wow.
Can we get her?
Sure, Miss Miller.
Oh, my God. You know she's a woman after my own heart. She obviously turned him gay.
Mm-hmm. No, I think
that whole story makes me hot. I would make him tell it like a million times. And then you said what? And then what were the looks on their faces like? And then you took the beers. So, by the way, this is exciting. I'm flying on a Saturday to Seattle, and I hope something cool like that happens.
No.
I dare you. AM1090Seattle.com, by the way, for tickets to the Big Town Hall. I don't know if they're still available, but I think there might be.
You can check it out at that website, or you can go to the calendar of events section of StephanieMiller.com. Yes. There's all kinds of links there.
Me, the Hawa, Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, Mike Malloy, and Ron Reagan will all be there for the Big Town Hall. A good time is always had by all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm flying. And so I'm just hoping, because there's all these stories now about other airplane freakouts in the wake of the Steven Slater thing.
Yes.
And I'd forgotten some of them. Can I have some nostalgia music? Let's look back at some of the greatest hits of airplane freakouts.
Okay.
Rebecca, have you ever freaked out on a plane?
No, but I assume you have.
No.
I'm really?
No.
Oh, come on.
Well,
demanding box wine.
Oh, well, that. But I do that on the ground. I get hostile when I don't get my box wine in time. All right. Yeah, that's. Have you ever noticed that the other thing is you'll eat things up there that you wouldn't eat anywhere. For some reason, every time I'm on a plane, I order, what's that thing? Spicy, what do you call that? Spicy tomato drink thing. I don't drink that ever anywhere.
Oh.
Yeah. You just feel like you're going to starve to death for some reason. You need every nutrient that you can get.
I always have apple juice up there, and I never have apple juice.
I do that, too.
Yeah.
Who drinks apple juice except four-year-olds? all right. So, Stephen, in the wake of Stephen, this had to be the all-time greatest. The, Gerald Finnernan. You remember him? He became drunk doing it during a United Airlines flight.
Is he the one that crapped on the...
Yes. Okay, wait, don't ruin it.
Sorry.
You're telling the end of the story. Now what's left for me? There goes the punchline.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's the guy that crapped on the...
on the beverage cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is clearly for beverages and not for solids. So right away, that is such a faux pas.
That's the brown liquor?
Unless it wasn't quite solid.
The food cart? Okay. Oh, Chris,
what?
Boy. Do not play that, my favorite gastrointestinal. Oh, but you're going to need that later for the Dave Chappelle story.
Oh?
Excuse me? Okay, he became drunk during United Airlines flight from Buenos Aires to New York. When he was told he had enough, he decided to help himself. He threatened a flight attendant, kept a flight attendant from helping a sick passenger, pushed another flight attendant. He then used a food cart as a toilet and linen napkins as toilet paper. So it's not like he's totally gross.
Oh, dear.
He kind of upgraded.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of classy. He didn't even use paper napkins. He used linen.
When was the last time you saw linen napkins on a plane?
Maybe first class. Okay. A Delta Connection flight. This is cool because it's a chick fight, Rebecca.
Oh, awesome.
This is going to be you and I at some point. A Delta Connection flight was canceled in February when flight attendants got into an altercation, according to ABC News. Two female flight attendants were involved in a fight. Apparently, they got into a fist fight on the plane. The pilot decided to kick everyone off the plane.
But
he did think it was hot. He probably thought it was hot. Girls,
yeah.
Don't know.
Tear off your shirts. Keep fighting.
Let me get the Jell-O out. Hang on. That's awesome. I hope the flight attendants get in a fist fight on my flight to Seattle.
I doubt that will happen.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, something always happens on my flight to Seattle. Remember last one? I was like 6 hours late, and the listeners waited, which, God, I love my listeners. I love them.
Oh, that's
I got
right.
there really late, like 4 hours late, and I was drunk. And they still, we still had a fabulous time. All right, I'm not done.
Oh, okay. Well,
Merengue star Elvis Crespo. He's your favorite merengue.
Oh, he is. I love him.
Rebecca and I often go out for Jell-O shots, and we discuss our favorite merengue stars.
I've actually heard of him.
We got in a fist fight over our favorite merengue stars. And then she crapped in my glove compartment. It's a whole thing. It's a whole, you know what, we've gotten past that.
That takes some aim to crap in a glove compartment.
She's very agile. She's like a spider monkey. I was like, what are you doing? Wow.
Wow, that's impressive.
I really did. I had to give it up for that. I was like, yikes. If you think getting it in there is hard, getting it out, you know,
well,
that was the whole thing.
Yeah. Have to get the car detailed.
This first segment is taking a very strange
it
turn.
It really has.
Okay, so where was I? Oh, all right, yes, merengue star Elvis Crespo was caught masturbating on an airplane heading from Houston, Miami. Here's my favorite thing. The singer said he didn't recall doing that.
Oh.
I was what? I was... false sex? Huh?
Beg pardon?
Really? You know, that kind of thing seems like that would stick in your mind. Had you, you know...
Unless you were drunk or otherwise indisposed.
Or you do it so much.
there's that.
He probably put one hairy palm up to his face while he was, let me try. I don't remember that. All right, Ivana Trump, I forgot about this one. She was, you know why?
Why?
Because she's as annoyed by screaming baby airlines as I am.
Yes.
This could be me. Ivana, this is the closest one to me. Ivana Trump was kicked off a plane after yelling at noisy children. They reported that Trump was screaming expletives at children and ran up and down the first class aisle. That'd be me. Screaming swear words drunkenly at children. Which I'd do anyway, again, on the ground. But
I'm sure alcohol was involved in every single one of these instances.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was close, because you know what's worse than screaming baby? Screaming baby airlines is screaming toddler airlines.
Yes.
I was in one point where there was literally in my section, like, I don't know, three or four toddlers. And apparently there always must be screaming when there's more than one child. And the toddlers scream almost worse than the baby scream. Just, I'm not
there's
sure what's
happening. There's a certain pitch that they reach.
Yeah, they hit that one, and then there's that. And you're like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The newspaper said Trump would, I love this part, too. She would not leave the New York-bound flight before it took off and had to be physically... Would you have given anything to be on that flight to watch them pick Ivana Trump up and carry her out of the plane struggling?
There have got to be cell phone pictures of that.
Oh, my God. Just that hairdo alone. What did the hair look like when they were done? Just all get disheveled and get your hands off me. I was meant for the diamond. All right. And then finally, the Dave Chappelle, which I totally forgot about this one. Dave Chappelle reportedly freaked out on a private jet from New Jersey to Ohio. What are you freaking out over if you can afford a private jet, for God's sakes?
Mm-hmm.
He reportedly refused to put on his seatbelt. He walked into the cockpit and asked how much longer the flight would be. I wanted to do that. How are we doing here? What are we thinking? And he grabbed the pilot's... Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Faster!
Just tapping him on the shoulder. Yeah. Are we there? It's like when the pilot tells you which way he's going. like you would know. You know when he'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be going up over the Grand Canyon. And you're thinking, like, what's, like, you're going to go, oh, I wouldn't, at rush hour? No. I wouldn't go that way. I'd go to Colorado and then up the...
Well, sometimes you're surprised at what they point out because, you know, like you're on a flight from, let's say, Los Angeles to Miami.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy says that you're over Omaha. I'm like, that's not
that's
really...
That's weird. That doesn't seem on the way.
That's not on the way. Okay. I hope you know what you're doing.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so we freaked out. This was... But you remember, this is the, you know, part... The representative for the comics said he was having stomach problems and had to use a proper bathroom.
Ah, yes.
So, see that little the flame bathroom, apparently it was...
it's not proper.
It was probably an Alestra moment that required...
Bad sushi, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Sushi that was left out in the sun?
I've had that happen. Have you ever had an explosive moment?
Yes.
I mean, like, I mean, ceiling, which is... That's hard. Stephanie, again, despite your feats, I...
See, I share a bathroom with you
yeah.
here. I
yeah.
know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So nasty.
Sometimes, yeah, it's like that.
You thought
it's like
men
that spin art.
That.
It's like that spin art when you make. Sometimes when you've had, in the particular case I'm talking about, it's too much seaweed.
You hit the ceiling only when you don't wear underwear, Stephanie. That is why you need to wear underwear.
It's when you you don't get there quite in time, and so you have a little bit of.
Yes, underwear serves as a net for it. That's why you need to wear underwear.
Are you not wearing underwear right now?
No,
I never,
does. I never do.
Can we check?
All right. Wow, that was that had all the class that you hoped for in a first segment.
All right.
All right. This is it. We are staying true to our formula. Congressman, poo joke. Congressman,
poo joke.
Poo joke.
Yeah.
Alan Grayson coming up in a couple of minutes. 20 minutes after the hour. Congressman Alan Grayson coming right up on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake. La 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 la.
This is my happy song. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm the unprofessional left and I think everything's great.
La la.
24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Janet in Tucson. Oh,
Good morning, Cindy et al.
Yes, we have started the airline story, Avalanche.
Yes, indeed. I was a flight attendant for a major carrier for 7 years, and on a red eye one night, there was a screaming.
That's Satan's
child.
Flight. The red eye is Satan's flight, so you know things are going to go wrong.
Exactly.
Yes.
And there was a screaming toddler, and I offered to take him from the man so the man could eat his chicken or beef, and I took the child, and which immediately attacked me, glommed onto me like an animal. But I held onto the child and did
like a
my
screech
thing,
monkey.
And
yes.
I came across the father again in the aisle, and he was blue up to the elbow. And I said, "Sir," and he said, "Well, I dropped the baby's pacifier in the loo," and the only thing I could think of to ask was, "Did you find it?"
Wait a minute.
Wait,
go back. The man was blue from what?
From reaching into the lavatory toilet.
Oh.
Right.
Oh. The pacifier.
Wow.
And again, the only thing I could think of to ask was, "Did you find it?"
That's so Avatar. That's, do you need 3D glasses after that? That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
On every level. That's my story.
All right, thank you. Wow, that's weird. Is one just a, you know, like you've been a... I was going to say something with a Smurf. Never mind. I won't... Doing something to a Smurf, but I can't even say any of the things I was thinking.
Something with a fist, maybe?
Yeah, shush. Sal in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sal.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you were saying that sometimes you fly over parts of the country that you don't expect to be flying over, like when you were flying
over... Right, like you think perhaps you've been... you're like, oh, are hijackings to Cuba back in vogue? Where the hell are we going?
I felt the same way until I found out what this thing called the Great Circle Path. I don't know if you know anything about it, but basically, it's the, you know, the old adage, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, but on the globe, the shortest distance between two points
is a curved line.
Is the right. Equator. The equator between those two points. That's why when you fly from the West Coast to Europe, you're flying over the North Pole, or if you're going to Tokyo, you're flying along the Alaskan coastline. So that's what ends up happening, you know.
Yeah, the only time it happened to me is something really bad. When something really bad technically happens to the plane, they don't really tell you. They just lie to you. Like, we suddenly realized we were going back. Like, you know, we were, I think it was a flight from L.A., we were halfway over, we were almost to Denver.
Right.
And we were suddenly like, what, why is the plane turning around? Seems like we're turning around. We're going back, really? And the
that's
pilot, you can, and the, but you can tell when the pilot is just saying total, you know, bull. You can tell when it is. He's like, oh, listen, when the there's a something's going or with the, you know, whatever. He was making up something clearly that he was pulling out of his butt. And so, and then we found out later. It's not till we landed that we found out what the it was something. They thought that, you know, like the landing gear didn't work. Something that's not that. That's a little bit.
It wasn't unruly passenger.
No, it turned out that it was nothing, but they thought literally there was something like the landing gear didn't work or something that was going to not end well, shall we just say. And then they didn't tell us till later what actually happened.
So did news crews have cameras trained on
you? Yes, no, remember? I told you this. This is how we knew something really bad was up. When we landed, there were fire trucks and police things following the plane. We were like, what's going on? I wonder, huh?
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, they were all there with the, what you call it, all the emergency vehicles were on the tarmac already following us. I was like, okay. All right, either there's the shoe bomber or an underwear bomber, somebody on here, or, you know,
oh dear.
Something's going awry. All right, I want to talk about what a stick that Ben Quayle is.
Yes.
Wow! What an asshat! Did you see that new ad? What a jerk!
What, Obama's the worst president ever?
Yes!
Yeah.
Ugh, he's gross. He's just creepy, isn't he? That ad is just creepy. And
well, he has an even creepier past.
Yeah. Yes, this is the other breaking news story I love. Ben Quayle had a hard time. He could be an even more disastrous politician than his father.
Yeah, first of all,
he might be even stupider than his father, which is saying something.
Yes, let's just say that he's running for Congress from the state
of
Arizona.
Getting to that.
Yes.
Yes, he's the son of former Vice President Dan Quayle, an Arizona Republican candidate for Congress. He's having a hard time getting his story straight about the whole, you know, DirtyScottsdale.com.
Yes.
Apparently.
I love that site.
His post comments on DirtyScottsdale.com, a website devoted to chronicling the trashy side of the Scottsdale nightclub scene.
It's hysterical.
Is there any other kind of the Scottsdale nightclub scene?
I've been in the Scottsdale nightclub scene. It's pretty damn trashy.
His admission came hours after a political story quoted him saying he was not involved in the site, which was a precursor to thedirty.com.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a Linda Tripp site. The dirty. The dirty. That guy. Dirty, dirty. Tell me the dirty. Quayle denied Dirty Scottsdale founder Nick Ritchie's claim that he posted under the pseudonym Brock Landers, a reference to a porn star in the movie Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that was Mark Wahlberg's character.
But Quayle then admitted to contributing to the site, saying, I just posted comments to drive some traffic. This is hilarious, this is being brought up. This is a smear. Yes, it is hilarious, but at your expense. All right, so we will... He was trying to find the hottest chick in Scottsdale, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll have more on that story. And Face the Grayson is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Huge fan of the show.
Much.
Yeah, hey, are you ever going to do a show on people who have crushes on their farm animals?
Why don't you call one of our producers? We have that 1-800 number.
Her name's Begonia, and I'm going to tell you, she's one hell of a goat.
Oh, jeez.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hop on those phones. Almost time to face the Grayson. Congressman Alan Grayson takes your questions. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. You know what I'm wondering? I was actually going to ask Robert Gibbs. I was going to ask
Robert Gibbs. Do we have him booked? Why wasn't I told?
But you know what? How condescending and dismissive he is about the base. Like, oh, they'll be there in November. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's never addressed one time is how betrayed the unions feel. They're the only ones who can financially, with unlimited corporate campaign financing, they're the only ones that can go up against November.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to Phoenix next week to give a big union speech, and I'm you know what? I'm really curious to talk to them about that. You know how
And no one from this administration has acknowledged the fact that they are not going to do anything for this president after he batched back Blanche Lincoln. You know, to me, I think that's going to take a huge hit for the Democrats.
But Mike, I got to say, I mean, you listen to the show, so you know, we cannot afford to have Republicans get in. I mean, so what I'm saying is I actually agree with some of the spirit of what he said. I think he said it badly, and I think you're right. You know, there's no need to, you know, poke the base with a sharp stick. So, you know, and I think he's admitted that, but he obviously didn't say it correctly and tried to walk it back. But, you know, we talk about the same thing, Mike, on this show, that we feel like, you know, we've got to pull together, that you know, I can't even imagine the likes of Sharon Engel and Rand Paul. Well, then Michelle Bachmann running this country.
No, I know, but you know what? At the same time, if everyone says, well, we have to go there because we don't want the crazy right wing in there, that's how Robert Gibbs has that dismissive attitude, like, oh, don't worry, they'll be there.
Right,
you know,
but what I'm
November.
Saying is, Mike, I do agree with him on the substance, and we've talked about this on every issue. Did I want a public option? Yes. Do I feel like we have a major achievement getting health care done? I do. You know, I mean, I just am, I get called an apologist every day, and I don't care. I mean, I really do feel like he's accomplished a lot of what he campaigned on.
Yeah, I just wish that they didn't take the base for granted. They really
I hear you.
Thanks,
all right, honey. All right. Thank you, honey. Oh, my goodness. When that name appears on my screen, I get the vapors.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Good morning, Congressman Alan Grayson.
Good morning. You called the previous caller honey, and I think I deserve equal treatment.
That's because I knew you were on the line. Ha ha. Okay. So we were talking about this. As you know, I'm the unprofessional left. I'm not the professional left. Well, what are your thoughts on all this? Because I've been saying that I sort of agree with the spirit of what he said. I think he said it badly, but you think he should resign, huh?
Yeah, I think he should be fired. I'm 310 million Americans, and he's the one that the president chooses as his spokesman. We don't have anybody better than that. Why not you? You'd be a far better spokesman for Obama's policies than he is.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Oh, good. We agree on that.
Yes, well, we agree on that. We agree on loving.
Stephanie Miller.
So what did he say? Let's see here. He said, I don't plan on leaving. He made a little joke. There's no truth to the rumor. I added an inflatable exit to my office. It's an airline guy joke. He said, I watch a lot of cable TV. You don't have to watch long to get frustrated by some of what's said. I think that's what that answer was born out of. You know, I was saying, Alan, that what annoys me is that the likes of this, the right wing that you deal with every day, having them get in because we don't, you know, pull together, that scares me more, I guess.
Listen, the president needs to have good people working for him. In fact, the best people working for him. And Gibbs just hasn't done the job.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done anything like what you'd expect someone to do in his position. He hasn't explained to the country the benefits of health care reform in an effective way. He didn't explain why we needed the stimulus plan. He didn't do anything that actually mattered to change the subject when Fox took over the agenda day after day after day. He hasn't done the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's, Juanita in Cincinnati wants to talk about this as well. Juanita, you're on with Congressman Alan Grayson. Go ahead, Juanita.
Yes. By your logic of wanting Press Secretary Gibbs fired, you should be fired for calling the Republican Party knuckle-dragging Neanderthals, and the Republican Party should get fired for calling President Marxist status, communist, Maoist, Stalinist, and so on. So what you are requesting is illogical, and all of you are in a branch of government.
Ma'am, you're on fire.
Yes, but besides, Press Secretary Gibbs...
You are just on fire.
Wait. Press Secretary is talking about the left pundits who are getting paid on cable to tear down accomplishments of the Obama administration and Congress, and knowing full well that the problems with well certain groups or with certain groups and the people in the Senate, that's the problem. That is the problem in a nutshell, the Senate, parts of the people in the Senate.
So it doesn't faze you, ma'am, that we pass health care reform, which gives 30 million people the ability to see a doctor when they couldn't see one before, and notwithstanding that, the Democrats are down 16 points in 20 months in the polls. That, you think, has nothing to do with our communication ability.
Well, we still have problems. Well, you know, we do a little bit, but tearing down, when the left is tearing down the parts of the other left, is not helping.
Well, right. I mean, Congressman, I do feel like that's what I object to sometimes, is helping the right do their work.
Yes.
Well, that's what Gibbs was doing.
Well, that's what the people of the cable were doing. So this tit for tat has got to stop.
All right. Thanks, Juanita. I don't know. I mean, sometimes...
Maybe we could just cut back a little bit on it. Do we have to stop it entirely?
Well, I mean, my point is that I feel like, you know, a lot of times people get so scared of being called the liberal media that I just feel like they have to go out of their way, you know, to find stuff to criticize, when I just feel like, you know, you and I deal with these people on the right wing every day, and it's, I don't want to be on that side.
There are 15 million unemployed people in this country. There are 40 million people who still, despite the fact that health care reform passed, still can't see a doctor when they're sick. And Gibbs thinks the problem is the liberals. He picked up these ugly Fox talking points talking about how liberals want a Canadian health care system. Well, I pointed out on MSNBC yesterday that the awful Canadian health care system somehow allows these people who live at the very edge of the way human beings can live, shoveling snow for 10 months out of the year, they live 3 years longer than we do.
Yeah.
So how bad can their system be, and why is Gibbs saying things like that? If I wanted to hear Fox News, I wouldn't turn him on C-SPAN. I'd turn to Fox.
Yep.
The problem is that they think that they're tough guys if they dump on their base.
Yeah. No, I get that. I think, it's interesting that in terms of, we talk about this too, just the distractions, though, that we, you know, you guys are getting stuff done. I mean, particularly in the House, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is getting done, and it's frustrating when, you know, these news cycles become about just Michelle Obama's trip to Spain, you know?
Yeah, it's because he's not doing a good job, because if he was doing a good job, it would be about what the White House is actually doing for America, not about Michelle Obama's trip to Spain, or about mosques here and mosques there and mosques everywhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, as the president often says, it becomes just silly season. Let's talk about jobs. That's the other thing. You know, they pay lip service. Who is it that just said, I love teachers? Oh, Mike Pence. I love them. I'm not going to do anything for them, and I don't care if 160,000 of them get fired.
When he was in kindergarten.
What's that?
He had a crush on one when he was in kindergarten. It goes back a long way in his case.
Yes. He had a Mary Kay Letourneau fantasy. some stuff that you would think is bipartisan, you know, like saving 160,000 teachers' jobs,
why
right?
Why didn't Gibbs talk about that instead of dumping on the liberals?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's developed this really unique strategy. The strategy is that he's going to try to see to it that when President Obama runs for re-election, nobody votes for him. That's what Gibbs seems to want to accomplish. He's alienated the right. Now he's alienated the left. There'll be nobody left.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jimmy in Washington. Time to face the Grayson. Hi, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to talk to Congressman Grayson.
Yes.
About his idea. He says that they're dumping on the base. Well, I would challenge him to take a look at what the base really is. Not all of us Democrats out here are on the far left wanting, you know, the Canadian health care and some of the other more extreme left measures. And I think there's a lot of us out here, especially the independent groups or sort of the moderate Democrats that are not in favor of some of these ideas.
All right, sir, as long as you're willing to be drug tested per his instructions.
I have no problem being drug tested.
I want you to pee in a cup right now so we can hear it. Oh, I kid. All right. Dennis Kucinich, obviously Gibbs mentioned him. This is what he had to say about
that. We helped close ranks in Iowa to assist Barack Obama in his move towards a nomination, and that I was a pivotal vote on health care.
Well, you know... And that I understand, that to mention Dennis Kucinich by name was certainly inartful at best.
Well, listen, Dennis was excoriated for trying to stick to his principles in the case of health care reform. He signed a letter. I didn't sign the letter because I knew that what I cared about health care reform was universal coverage. But he signed a letter along with 70 other members saying that he would not vote for health care reform unless it included a public option, which I'm also in favor of. I just didn't think that that was as important as universal coverage, which the bill basically does provide for. And Dennis was excoriated by the White House for holding back on his vote on health care reform because he wanted to stick to what he'd said and say, and insist on a public option in that bill,
which
the White House abandoned at a very early point.
What, you know, by the way, update us on your the Medicare for All idea and what we can do about that.
It's percolating, as is another bill that I introduced, which I think I may have mentioned on the show before. I introduced a bill which is H.R. 6000, which deals with the problem of the health care providers being required to take care of people with pre-existing conditions but having no enforcement mechanism that really bites. So we've introduced the bill H.R. 6000, along with the bill that you just referred to, Medicare You Can Buy Into bill. The H.R. 6000 says that if you deny care or coverage to someone with a pre-existing condition and that person dies, then it's murder.
Yeah. And what's the website again?
Well, H.R. 6000, if you just Google H.R. 6000, you come up with it right away. And I think that we're trying to take the health care reform that we did pass and make it even better. I think that people in Washington feel some health care fatigue at this point, but we already have 80 co-sponsors for the first bill, and we're going to round up co-sponsors for the second bill.
Well, but see, it's because of people like you that I just feel like we need to stick together. You know, we got health care passed. There are people like you that are working to strengthen it over time, like Social Security, right? Like, other things in Medicare in the past. So, I mean, that's why I just feel like if we had all Republicans in, we're not going to get anything done except subpoenas, right?
I'll be happy to stick together with you.
Aww.
You're the cutest man ever.
Is it true, by the way, that when I'm on the show on Thursdays, the ratings triple, or did I just entirely make that up?
Quadruple. I'm going to say quadruple.
Quadruple.
Yes.
Okay, let's put that out there.
All right. I think, unless you want to leave by inflatable slide, I think you have to go do Congress things now.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Wish I could spend all the time with you.
I do. Congressman Alan Grayson, another smashing edition of Face the Grayson. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you next week. Love him.
He's awesome.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We have Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America coming up to co-host Right Wing World next hour. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I have so much trouble with what's going on right now, and I don't understand why the Democrats or the left cannot turn some of this vitriol on the other side. It seems like we spend most of our time negotiating with ourselves, mm-hmm. and we have to figure out what the other side has figured out. The people really don't want to debate stuff. They want to know why. They want to know that. And we have to be as assertive and as righteous with our beliefs and our ideas and our vision of government as the other side is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stand.
Well, here's the thing I agreed with, Jeff, that Robert Gibbs said yesterday. He said, so we should all, me included, stop fighting each other and arguing about our differences on certain policies and work together because we've come too far to turn back now. And I agree. I mean, when you listen, it scares the bejesus out of me when you listen to the likes of a lot of these people on the right, especially a lot of these candidates for November.
Yeah.
So I just am not down with the whole, I'm going to stay home, I'm not going to vote thing.
No, and we need to rally the base, by lighting a fire. We need to have the passion for the truth and for our beliefs that the other side has.
Listen, and I could agree with my friend Alan Grayson if it takes Robert Hebb's head on a pike to rally the base, then maybe that's not a bad idea.
Right. I mean, we can rally around our flag the same way they can. And we have to understand that, you know, the easiest thing to sell is hate. And that's what they sell. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
It, you know, it's easy. But it is
right. And don't you get, you know, that's what I keep saying is, like, don't we get tired of it? The fear mongering, the dividing, the, you know, if you don't have a job, it's the brown people. If you don't have, if your marriage is bad, it's the gay people. I mean, it's just, it's a different version every time of the same play, isn't it, on the right?
Yeah. And they've taught us to hate government. They've taught us to hate taxes. They've taught us to hate each other. And what we need to do is we need to turn that argument. It's going to take some time, but we need to profess the goodness of government and the benefit of taxes and the benefit of diversity. And we need to push that storyline, push that message until it sinks in the same way they did from the 80s on.
Yeah, exactly. I hear you. Good call. All right. Bonseal in Asheville, North Carolina, my friend.
Good morning.
Owner of the official snooty elitist liberal French restaurant of the Stephanie Miller Show, Bouchon. Check it out.
In Asheville.
Hi, Bonseal.
I'm speechless every time you do that. It's so wonderful. Of course, my one bone to pick is that we are so not snooty.
I know. Because well, you do have several types of creme brulee.
We have several types of creme brulee, but it is available to anyone with the very reasonable price of the creme brulee.
Yeah. So. I'm just saying no one on a right-wing show has ever gasped like Chris did and went, oh, Bouchon has five kinds of creme brulee.
No, they want to poison creme brulee, if
that's
you'll
right.
remember
that's right.
Ann Coulter's famous remark about Judge Potter.
Yeah, that's right.
So, anyway,
go ahead.
I called because in the interest of keeping the Stephanie Miller newscast up to date, you must change. When anybody is hot for teacher, you cannot refer to Mary Kay Letourneau anymore. Because as far as I'm concerned, that had a much more principled outcome than the Newt Gingrich story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Mary Kay Letourneau claimed that she loved this young man till the day she died, and for all we know, she does because she couldn't stay away from him.
Right, and if she didn't, she really went out of her way to make a point, for God's sakes.
Well, there you have it.
Married and procreated with him. All right, we get it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah, that's the other thing. So would you rather have the likes of Newt Gingrich in office? Did you see this?
Now he's saying, do as I say, not as I do.
He's like, doesn't matter how I live. Nah, yeah. It's not really, you know, connected so much. The fact that I'm a big, fat, stinking hypocrite. Oh, let's go to Susan in Connecticut. Hi, Suze, welcome.
Hello, how are
you? Hello, good.
One of the things that I wanted to make a point about was the false equivalency of the right. They say the craziest things, and it's bad enough when the media legitimizes that, but when that's coming from the White House, you know, well, we're watching Fox News. Why are you watching Fox News? Call them out as crazy. Those people are crazy. They say mean, hateful, cruel things, and then our side comes back and says, well, you know, I understand their frustration.
Yep.
Why would we understand that? We were told our whole lives. I was raised never to understand that.
Yeah.
And then you have Robert Gibbs legitimizing that, and it's kind of like, where do they rate? You know, why? They're not in power. We are.
Mm-hmm.
Show it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we're doing. Here's how we're going to do it. And they're crazy.
Well,
and
no, it does.
Making that point.
Yeah, it is negotiating with terrorists at some point.
Sure.
It really
with
is.
Republicans, you know.
It really is.
Yeah.
And instead of calling them out, just like they did us when we, you know, were rallying against the Iraq War and, you know, telling us how awful and hateful and cruel and unpatriotic we were, they want to take away the rights of citizens, of babies who were born here. You know, I mean, that's crazy talk. And instead of absolutely calling them out on that, they're turning around and saying, oh, well, I understand their frustration. Really? I don't.
Yep, I hear you. Chris in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Chris. Welcome.
Howdy. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks,
yeah,
Tom.
I am, I guess you say, an unprofessional liberal or lefty. Hello?
Yes. Yes. Me too.
It just dropped off. But I'm also getting rather upset. As a Democrat, I'm in a party, and we nominate candidates, and we want the candidates to take our platform and turn it into public policy. So when I hear a guy like Gibbs basically tell me, you know, that, like, I'm on crack or something like that, I'm not going to be happy until they get Canadian health care, well, you know what? people who tell us one thing to get elected and then turn around and do something else once they're in there, they forget that, you know.
Right, but that's where I disagree. I think the president has done pretty much everything he said he was going to do. I understand some people don't agree with it, and I wish, you know, we had started from single payer too and yada yada, you know, but.
I would like Canadian health care.
All right, please. How about, what's that all about? 58 minutes after the hour, we have Eric Bowler coming up, Right Wing World, much more. Stick around. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Eric Bowler coming up for Media Matters for America to co-host Right Wing World. You can come live blog at thestephaniemiller.com or email us there. Several comments on your the Jim Ward, Chris LaVoy patented Laura Ingraham impression.
Oh boy, okay.
Oh, we did. You did the Laura Ingraham orgasm yesterday. I don't even remember how we got there. Let's see. Dave in Madison writes, Steph and crew, I'm astonished by your imitations of Ingraham or any of these right-wing bimbos having an orgasm. How would anyone ever know what that would sound like? I mean, honestly, do you think it's possible they can enjoy sex without thinking it's so liberal to let themselves go like that? Let alone, do you think anyone would last long enough to satisfy these ice princesses? I don't know.
I imagine
the blood shooting out of your ears from the nasal twang might slow you up a pace.
What was Keith Olbermann thinking? By dating Laura Ingraham.
Did he really?
What? Yeah.
That is... When did that happen?
Oh, it happened
quite some time ago.
Quite some time ago. Yeah, back when Laura Ingraham was on MSNBC.
Oh, we were talking about other... I know what it was. We were talking about other plane freakouts besides Stephen Slater's. And there was somebody that was masturbating. And then there's been a request for you guys on the live blog.
Oh, to do an imitation of Laura Ingraham masturbating in an airplane lavatory?
Mm-hmm. Do we have to do that?
No, I don't think so.
No.
All right.
Computer says no. All right. I don't think that's not for the kids.
No.
Yeah. All right, Jim. I have a guest quote for you. Who said an iceberg 4 times the size of Manhattan has broken off Greenland, creating plenty of room for global warming deniers to start their own country? Who said that?
Robert Gibbs.
No. Representative Ed Markey.
Ed Markey.
Ed Markey.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming deniers are wicked retarded.
He did not say that part. Okay. So far, 2010 has been the hottest year on record, and scientists agree Arctic ice is a canary in a coal mine that provides clear warnings on climate. Who said that?
Jack Burns.
No.
Sort of the same guy.
No. Huh? Ed Markey.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Markey.
Congressman Ed Markey. Who said, it is unclear how many giant blocks of ice it will take to break the block of Republican climate deniers in the U.S. Senate who continue to hold this critical clean energy and climate legislation hostage. Who said that?
John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Oh, but there was global warming even then. No, Ed Markey.
Ed Markey.
Ed Markey.
I can tell we're trying to find something to replace Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
Ed Markey, slowly I turn.
Give me your best shot. Fire away.
Oh, no, don't get us on the Benatar bus again on Charlie Rangel.
No.
Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong together.
Jim Googled Benatar. That's so that he could come up with some more for today.
Well, I did that yesterday.
All right. And now you're just doing a bit of kit. This is going to be jazz. Cat turns on vacuum, causes emergency alert.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Wait, he turned on?
A vacuum. Stupid kid.
Okay.
This is in Berlin. A cat alone, home alone in Germany, apparently turned on the vacuum cleaner, frightened itself half to death and wound up being attended to by emergency services. The police said the emergency call wasn't entirely banned because at least the cat could be calmed down.
Oh, good.
How do you calm a cat down, I wonder?
You just let it calm itself down. You don't calm it down.
I was going to say, it doesn't seem like there's really any calming a cat down.
No. My cat hates the vacuum cleaner. Hates it, hates it, hates it.
Yeah.
Always hides.
All right. And this is just a story. Just someone that's more squeezy than Jim, which it's hard to... This guy. Well, and I was trying to find someone that would make Newt Gingrich look good, values-wise. A 31-year-old Utah man who had been sentenced has been sentenced to 6 months in jail for fondling a maternity nurse who was wheeling the man's pregnant girlfriend to the delivery room.
Ew.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, classy with a K.
Oh, I loved that one. All right, so Newt Gingrich, frankly,
the way you calm a cat down is to rub his belly, which works for me, too, frankly.
No, my cat.
Especially if you're...
What? My cat attacks me when I rub his belly.
Really?
I mean, see those fresh...
Yes.
Yeah. Those...
Oh, I thought that was a suicide attempt from working with me.
No.
Wow.
No, it's fresh cat scratch.
Oh, my gosh.
From rubbing his belly.
No,
Edgar,
thought
Edgar
you were
a cutter.
Edgar loves that. He just rubs his...
Well, no.
Belly.
What Jazz does is when I get home from work,
yes,
he'll go to linoleum and, you know, just scrooch around on his back,
mm-hmm,
and it just looks so cute that you want to rub his belly, and then when you rub his belly,
fell for it again.
That's weird. I do that right before Alan Grayson calls.
Yeah.
I don't, and
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Gingrich. Yeah,
frankly,
he really he is the biggest.
Right-wing hypocrites.
Catch all the likes of all these types in office. Newt Gingrich, there's a new idea. He, of course, has been chastising recently the supposed erosion of values on the left.
Frankly, I don't know of any Democrats who leave their bedridden wife for another chick. Yeah, that's really the only moral thing to do, frankly.
Yeah.
Frankly, you should marry them, frankly.
Yeah. His second wife, Marianne, whom he cheated on with his current wife, Calista, breaks her 12-year silence on her relationship with Gingrich to reveal a portrait of a man who understood the deep hypocrisy of his actions, but simply didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Hmm. He asked her to just tolerate the affair and offer she refused.
Huh.
To be a fly on the wall at that meeting. Frankly.
Can I just take it. Just take
he's
it.
Got an,
sit there and take it.
An inflated sense of self-importance,
apparently,
doesn't he?
Yes. He had just returned from Erie, Pennsylvania, where he'd given a speech full of high sentiments about compassion and family values. The next night he sat talking with his wife, the couple wives ago, that one,
yeah,
and said, she said, how do you give that speech and do what you're doing? He said, it doesn't matter what I do. People need to hear what I have to say. Yes, he's that important.
Mm. Wow.
There's no one else who can say what I can say. It doesn't matter what I live. Marianne went on to say Gingrich believes what he says in publics and how he lives don't have to be connected.
Mm. Really?
Frankly. Yeah.
Frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I'm a self-important asshat. I'm basically a dick, frankly.
Ah, boy. All right. So that was my point on the whole Robert Gibbs controversy. Robert Gibbs yesterday is, I just, you know, rather not have the Gingriches in office instead.
I don't plan on leaving, so. And there's no truth to the rumor that I've added an inflatable exit to my office.
Jim.
I agree, Grayson. You should go.
Yeah, you do.
Gibbs.
Yeah. I do. I think the president should get some dry ice and a pike, and I think that might motivate the base in November. Little Gibbs head on the pike.
Well.
Just saying.
Yeah. Unless he agrees with him, in which case, that's going to be more difficult.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, I'm saying, like, I do agree with the spirit of some of what he said. He just said it badly, and I agree with Congressman Grayson. I'm sure there must be somebody better. I'm called an Obama apologist every day. Isn't that the job, essentially? And I have a box that I could bring. Liven things up in the press room.
But, you know, 2 weeks before the Deepwater Horizon disaster, Obama was saying we have to stop the old divisions between all those hippie environmentalists and drilling for oil, essentially drill, baby, drill. You know, and that's, you know, maybe that's just the way he really thinks. And Gibbs was echoing that.
I don't know. I know that Michelle Bachmann, once again the likes of Michelle Bachmann, this is the thing. It's like they have no. She had this what did they call it, a teletown hall?
Sure.
The other day, and they literally, the problem was these Tea Party things. Like they disavow. You remember Sarah Palin wouldn't say anything when people would scream the most incredibly like violent or racist things.
Yep.
They just allow it. Several callers threw out lies smearing Democrats, but as the Minneapolis Star Tribune pointed out, neither Bachmann nor other Republicans on the call corrected them. One caller claimed Nancy Pelosi has a drinking problem. They were probably thinking of
Stephanie Miller,
the other woman, liberal woman from California. That's probably what they were thinking.
Or maybe they were confusing her with the highest-ranking Republican in the House, which is John Boehner.
Ah.
Rumors. I've been thinking simply that, rumors. And anyone who says that has no understanding of what I do for American people every day.
There are rumors.
We just leave at 5 o'clock in the afternoon for happy hour.
I hear tell he's pretty friendly with every single bartender on Capitol Hill.
That's mm-hmm. what I understand, quite the barfly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes we can't get bills done late in the day, because, you know, 5 o'clock rolls around, it's like Fred Flintstone. Woo-hoo! Time to go to barfies.
He was, I forget where he was being interviewed, but they had sort of this rust-colored wood paneling behind him. His skin was the same shade.
Yeah. Yes, it was Meet the Press.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Well, like no, that's what we were saying. Is David Gibbs, or what do you call it, David Gregory that pasty? Or is it was like a weird contrast. It was like Casper interviewing, yeah.
It was just a set of eyeballs and teeth.
It was like Casper you know? Interviewing a jar of Tang. It was.
Yeah.
yeah, one caller.
He is the color of Tang. You're right.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I got more vitamin C than orange juice. The astronauts drank me
He's the official
all the way
congressman
to the moon.
Of the astronauts. Anyway, another caller on the Michelle Bachmann Teletown Hall said he didn't understand how a Muslim can become president when his home is in Kenya. And nothing.
What?
Nothing from Michelle Bachmann or any of the other Republicans on the call to correct that misinformation.
Hmm. We should have Keith Ellison in there. We'd have an actual Muslim as president. He's very smart.
I like him.
That would really drive him nuts.
Exactly. Oh, Jim and Madison met Newt. Hi, Jim. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, I met Newt one time. His wife was a relation of a friend of mine who was getting married. And, you know, all liberals at this wedding. And he was really nice. It was a September wedding. We were watching some college football and drinking a few beers. He was really normal. And we were all getting our pictures taken with him, kind of, you know, as a joke. Nothing political going on. And the certain couple... he asked them if they wanted their picture taken with him, and they said no. And I think it was kind of because they felt bad about treating him kind of like a circus animal, much as he may deserve it.
Yeah.
But it was like he immediately flipped the light switch when they said no, and he goes, "What are you, a liberal?"
Oh my God! Really?
Wow!
Jerk.
Yep. But it immediately became very uncomfortable. But,
yes, awkward. Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. Wow. What's the deal with our celebrity sightings? Warren in Seattle met Mary Kay Letourneau. Hello,
really?
Warren. Now, Jim's more interested in that story. Hello,
by
Warren.
Met, you
mean... I was good. I was hanging out with Mary Kay Letourneau and Billy at their DJ party. Billy Fulau does his little DJing at the clubs. And they now have 3 lovely children and are still happily married.
Yeah, I heard that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's she like?
She's great. She's just a very laid-back person, you know.
Well, fun, yes.
You know, just having a few drinks.
She has laid back quite a bit.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
And what was her...
She's a very nice person to hang out with and has a great life now, I guess.
Was her husband Billy there?
Yes. He was spinning records. He was doing, you know, DJing at the club.
Okay.
There.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow! All right.
Yeah, I'll see you Saturday.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Right.
Bring Billy and Mary Kay. I'd like to meet them. All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, that was our favorite Tom Brokaw story ever.
Mary Kay Letourneau and Billy. I'll call him Steve.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard coming up from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Skippy in Ithaca. Hello, Skippy.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello, Mook.
I love a man named Skippy.
Well, yeah. My parents are kind of original.
Are you smooth or crunchy? All right, go ahead. You've heard that joke a thousand times.
Oh, my. I'm quite smooth.
All right, go ahead.
Move along,
please.
The whole issue is, you know, I come from a long line of right-wing males, and I'm the first...
There's no females involved. Interesting.
Well,
all the females in my family don't really do politics, but
okay.
I'm a raging liberal, like raging angry liberal.
Yes.
Everybody else in my family would make like Attila the Hun look twice. They're so right wing. But the thing is, I'm the first man in my family not to have an affair on my wife within 5 years of being married.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. So, this is like a Newt Gingrich-esque kind of theory.
And they're always, you know, podium pounding about family values at Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm sitting back going, okay, you hypocritical fools. Why am I the only person not cheating on my wife
yeah.
right now?
Hmm. Yeah. Like, well, that's why, you know, by the way, the federal judge is going to today rule whether gay marriage will resume out here in California. It's just I mean, seriously, the Republicans are just like, not one of you open your pie hole
exactly.
about family values and moral values.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So the, you know, the Michelle Obama story, this is the, dear God, the Marie Antoinette, blah, blah, blah. It is amazing, isn't it, when the actual facts come out? I mean, that's the problem, is these right-wingers, they just lie. Half the time, like, even when I'm on TV, I'm Larry King, you can't even keep up. You're like, what? Wait a minute, where'd you get that, huh?
Yeah, huh?
Wait a minute, huh? And, you know, it's like, did you know that you can't fact-check that fast? Glenn Beck told listeners the trip is costing you $75,000 a day.
Based on what?
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, well, there's that.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Andrea Tantaros, a well-known right-wing velociraptor, claimed Michelle Obama brought along 40 of her closest friends.
No.
What?
Also.
She's a liar.
Yes, as well. First of all, Michelle Obama brought only Sasha. Malia is away at summer camp, along with two close friends, each of whom also brought their daughters. Second, the entire group paid for their own lodging and personal expenses. Michelle Obama even reimbursed the government for the equivalent of two first-class commercial tickets for the flight on Air Force Two. Her friends flew separately on commercial flights. Finally, most
typical
of the
liberal.
Finally,
paying
most
for
of
stuff yourself.
Most
what a
of
sucker.
The rooms booked at her hotel in Spain belong to Secret Service agents.
Oh, well. There you go.
And as one reporter wrote, no matter where she goes, domestic or international, any first lady gets protection, and she doesn't decide how many agents are needed.
Right. Yeah.
That's not your decision. I'm Marie Antoinette. I would like 75 Secret Service people. Lord, just by way of, you know, remembrance, Laura Bush took a vacation every year of her husband's presidency with Secret Service agents and a government plane.
Yep.
Including to Africa.
And did not reimburse the government.
Which is a country with a lot of diseases and horny elephants.
The Bush frequent trips to his ranch in Crawford, Texas, which he took more vacation time, as you recall, Jim, than any other president in our history. The tab
should've
for that
taken more.
Has been analyzed at $20 million for air travel only for all the trips just to Crawford that he took. And then the last piece of breaking news, which, by the way, I think the White House was just too classy. They could have they knew it all the time and didn't say anything, is she actually went to Spain to spend time with a grieving friend, the other woman that she went with.
Right.
The first lady made the trip because she wanted to spend time with her best friend, Chicago physician Anita Blanchard, who lost her father this summer. Blanchard planned a Spanish vacation with her daughter and invited the first lady and her daughters to come along. Michelle, who had missed Blanchard's father's funeral, agreed to come along and paid for her own trip.
Other than that,
it's costing you $75,000 a day, and she brought 40 friends.
Okay, four. Okay, three. Close.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's not costing us any.
Yes.
Apart from the Secret Service, who would be there anyway, who get paid no matter where they are.
Yeah. That's like, oh, and by the way, the Secret Service apparently chose that hotel because it was easier. Because, you know, they tend
secure.
To have things like security concerns. Yes,
yes
oddly enough. I know that sounds
job.
Crazy. Yeah, but it was easier to guard the perimeter of that particular hotel than any of the other ones.
They have security concerns with the Tea Party asshats coming armed to public events.
All right. So Sarah Palin's winning streak.
Oh, yeah. Not so good.
Not
really a winning streak at all now, is it?
Yes. After a string of defeats for Palin and Dorsey's, the question has to be asked, was Palin's brand really so strong that she was swinging primaries in her favor? In the fun facts on these latest ones, in Colorado's 3rd District, Palin-backed Bob McConnell lost the congressional primary. The Palin pick in the Georgia governor's race, Karen Handel, conceded defeat in a close race against Nathan Deal. The results come on the heels of losses for Palin and Dorsey's last week in Tennessee for congressional hopeful CeCe Hale and Kansas, where Senate Republican Todd Tyart lost to a more moderate candidate. You know what I hope?
What?
whoever the teabaggy Palin candidates are, I hope they just implode in November, and then we'll see what the story is. We're going to talk to Eric Bullard about that. But, I mean, if Sharon Engel and Rand Paul and all the rest of them, I'll be like, oh, the power of the Tea Party, and it's the most fearsome year. Eric Bullard will tell you exactly how many people were at that big, the latest hype Tea Party rally thing.
Whatever.
As we continue with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You've been drinking too much or too little. I forget how it works with you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's Bullard time, everybody. Eric Bullard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bullard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bullard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bullard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bullard.
Eric, I commented the other day that you're quite a handsome gent. I've been seeing you all over the TV.
You and my mom agree.
I called Chris. I'm like, Eric Bullard's hot. Because I'd only had you on the radio show. I had no idea. Now, you have a couple of pieces of yours I want to talk about before we dive into Right Wing World. You and I have talked about this before, the media overblowing this whole Tea Party thing. You write, like, rubberneckers on the misinformation highway. Let's slow down and gawk at the wreckage from last Saturday's Tea Party in Philadelphia. Let's look at the scattered debris and see what it says not only about the state of today's Tea Party movement, but also what clues it provides for the political press corps in terms of how it should cover the anti-Obama rabble-rousers. So the local report showed the number at 300 people.
Yeah, and
yes.
I read some comments online. Some people who were sort of mingling around Philadelphia during that Tea Party. They said that was maybe kind. It might have been around 200.
Right.
And
less than one-tenth of what was expected, correct?
Yeah, they expected 3,000 or 4,000, and more people showed up in Philadelphia that week for the Apple Store opening than did a Tea Party rally featuring the incredibly famous Andrew Breitbart. So,
yeah.
I mean, we saw the red flags in the spring. Sarah Palin shows up in this hugely hyped event at the Boston Commons on tax day. Like 5,000 people show up. I mean, people who protested the Iraq War in 2003, 2004 might recall they would get like 200,000 people, and it would be on the metro section of the Washington Post. We're to the point now where the Tea Party events are drawing in the dozens.
Dozens showed up.
and it's still being treated as this very serious, important political movement. And if you look at their three high-profile candidates, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, and Sharon Engel,
right.
I mean, all three of them are real, you know, they've taken what should have been surefire Republican wins and turned them into toss-ups at best.
Well, that's exactly it, Eric, because that's what I was saying, is I wonder how they'll cover it in November when the Tea Party perhaps becomes the exploding comedy cigar of the Republican Party. And, you know, we have Charlie Crist and whatever, like you say. I mean,
yeah.
I think that it's like you and I've said from day one. I mean, this is nothing but bad news for Republicans. So.
Well, I mean, they've certainly made inroads on the primaries. They've kicked some people out they didn't like. They've got their candidates. But, like, you know, go back to New York 23 last winter, last year. They handed a district that hadn't been Democrat in 150 years to the Democrats because
right.
they got their person on the ballot. And people were like, no. Thank you, no. And now, I mean, Sharon Engel, I mean, Harry Reid, I mean, this is going to be absolute Houdini stuff if he survives. I mean, his poll ratings were unbelievable.
Right.
And Republicans elect this Tea Party candidate, and she's in the process of hand-delivering his reelection, it looks like.
Yep. The other thing you write about that I love is this asshat from Fox News that he thinks it's hysterical. He's going to open a gay bar next to the mosque in New York.
Right.
What's his name? Greg Red Eye host Greg Gutfeld.
Gutfeld, yes.
Yes. You say Fox News Red Eye host this week announced he wants to open a gay bar near the proposed Islamic Center in downtown Manhattan, the one that has so many right-wingers unhinged and inspired one Andrew Breitbart blogger this week to accuse New York City's Jewish mayor of acting like a Nazi collaborator because he supports the Islamic Center. Gutfeld and his fans, Eric writes, thinks it's hysterical that he struck upon a genius idea to build dialogue because a gay bar would make Muslims furious and they'd oppose one opening near near their Islamic Center. That would highlight the hypocrisy of the whole endeavor. Because they don't care that the Islamic Center makes some New Yorkers furious. And you, as you point out, first of all, good luck getting the permit, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just appears, you know, shows up on Glenn Beck and says, "Oh, I'm going to open a gay bar." You know, this is a guy who's never opened anything. I mean, he's a comedian. What does he know about, you know, running New York City nightlife or anything? But people are taking it seriously. But the whole point was, the whole shtick was, oh, I'm going to announce I'm going to open a gay bar. It's going to freak Muslims out, and they're going to go crazy. And ha, ha, ha.
But it's
been crickets.
It's a Muslim punked. Yeah, right. Exactly. Crickets.
Yeah, nobody cares.
It turns out they're not as stupid as Fox hosts.
Yeah, in fact, the backers of the Islamic centers said, go ahead, do whatever you want. So, I mean, the whole thing is a joke, and this is supposed to be, you know, the heights of sort of conservative satire and wit, and the whole thing is sort of as dumb as a bag of rocks. I mean,
I love that you write in the end of your post, I'd like to build a roller coaster on top of the Empire State Building. If I write a blog post claiming I've talked to investors, would anyone take that seriously? And I was like, cool, I want to see a roller coaster on top.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Can you really do it, Eric?
I'm talking to investors.
And I want a pony, too.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what to do, and here we go. Pamela Geller on the Fox and Freaks on the mosque issues.
This is not a religious issue or a freedom of speech issue. Would you build a Ku Klux Klan shrine at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Alabama? It has nothing to do with that. It is a very bad idea. It is grossly insensitive. It is offensive to build a shrine to the very ideology that inspired the attacks of 9/11.
Oh, my God.
Or a someplace that might preach the opposite of that, twist Islam like the 9/11 hijackers did.
Yesterday I tweeted, I said, is Pamela Geller, like, incapable of telling the truth? I mean, I think it's like a physical condition. I think she's pathological. Because the other thing she's parading this week is that the mosque, when it opens, it'll open on 9/11.
That's a lie.
Which is just a total fabrication.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She lies about everything. You know, she calls Obama a Jew hater. I mean, the whole thing is rancid from top to bottom with her.
And yet Fox News gives her prime...
Oh, not just Fox News. I mean, MSNBC and NBC had her on a couple of weeks ago. We haven't seen her lately in any serious TV outlet, but people need to understand who this nut job is before they start treating her seriously.
I wonder...
The hate is just, I mean, it drips off her. It's
Eric, I wonder if anyone has told her that there's an Islamic center in the Pentagon, because then we're going to have to bomb the Pentagon soon. All right, Hannity on the president.
He wanted this job. He's had it for nearly 2 years. Stop whining about President Bush. You know what? Sit at the table, man up, put your pants on, make decisions, take responsibility. Stop with the whining. Bush, 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 you're president.
He destroys the economy.
He's pantless. The president has no pants.
God. I don't hear Barack Obama talking about George Bush a whole lot. I think he makes occasional references to the sad state of the economy and how it's no longer losing 700,000
jobs. Right, and how we can't afford to go back to policies that got us into the hole in the first place. I think it's relevant when trying to get out of a situation that you discuss how you got in.
The whole idea that Obama, you know, whines about George Bush or rails about George Bush, he doesn't even mention George Bush. Democrats don't even mention it. It's a classic straw man.
Don't you hate that stupid macho theme that runs through the right-wing world with, you know, the either blatant or, you know, subtle things that the president's not manly? It's like,
Well, George Bush was a man's man.
Yes.
Look how well that worked out.
Yeah. You need to get into an unnecessary war to prove your manhood. All right. Mark Levin, who, just for no other reason than his voice is so soothing.
Obama has abused more children as president than any other president in American history. Now, Mark, what do you mean by that?
Yes.
I'll tell you
exactly
what I mean by that.
All right.
He is destroying their future.
Oh.
He's creating massive debt. They can't possibly carry on their little shoulders.
And it's not just the next generation, it's the next generation after that. These kids, yet born, are going to have to figure out how to unravel all this, how to undo all this.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh, dear God, Eric, they're carrying the dead on their tiny little shoulders, and that child-abusing Muslim is...
And their tiny little wallets. abusing, you know, just the idea that you're going to use that phrasing, abusing children, it obviously has one and one only connotation.
Exactly.
Then he sort of walks it back, but it's just disgusting.
Wow. Wow, wow. All right, drug-addled gasp, egg Rush Limbaugh.
The Democrats are imploding.
Oh.
The rats are jumping ship.
Really?
They're phony, baloney, plastic, banana, good time rock and rollers. There's nothing legitimate or sincere or substantive about them. Everything's a game. We are going to be seeing more of the Trotsky brand of communism than the Stalinist brand from here through November.
Wow, we're banana what?
Rock and roll bananas?
Bananas? What?
Stalinist.
I think that was Russia's old morning zoo days.
Is he back on drugs? What the hell was that?
Well, if he can spot the turn, the day it turns from Stalin to Trotsky, I'd be curious, since no one else knows what the heck he's talking about.
Exactly.
But he apparently really is a connoisseur of this stuff, so he'll keep us posted.
You'd think the base would be a little more supportive if you were really Trotsky-esque. You'd think we'd be a little more revved up. All right.
That professional left would be thrilled.
Yeah. Exactly. Greta Van Susteren.
What's with President Obama's closest advisors? Are they trying to torpedo him? First, his wife makes a tone-deaf move and goes on a foreign vacation, vacation at that. And now the president's press secretary is insulting the president's base.
Remember when she used to be a liberal? Greta Van Susteren?
She's making too much money.
You know,
she's making too much money to be a liberal.
Eric, we just debunked this whole thing, which I know you guys did too, the Michelle Obama thing. I mean, it is hard to combat when they're willing to just lie. Glenn Beck is like, it was costing the taxpayer $75,000 a day. You know, Andrea Tantaros is like, she brought 40 friends with.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, still yesterday, Rush Limbaugh was talking about the 40 friends. It was amazing because he was reading a Lynn Sweet piece in the Chicago Sun-Times where she debunks the 40 friends, and Limbaugh, while referencing his story, then continues to lie about the 40. It's just like pathological.
Right.
I mean,
right.
it's.
I mean, seriously, she brings essentially just her daughter and pays her own way. It's like, you know.
Look, they're still lying about 2 million people showed up in D.C.
That's true.
I know. And they were off by 1.9 million. So there's nothing that's going to stop them, really.
Really? Bill O'Reilly, one last one. Here we go.
It could be the biggest financial con in American history. As we reported last night, health insurance premiums all over America are rising fast. My own premium went up $2,100. I'm now paying north of $20,000 a year to insure four people.
And that is Obama's fault?
You
think that would be an argument for reform, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, wait
because
a minute.
Because this is before reform has taken effect.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes, well, thanks for making our point, Bill. Thank you. All right. I was just focused on the fact that I know he doesn't have the money, so I was, you know.
That's the private sector doing that, Bill.
Let's start a canned-good drive.
For Bill.
Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. All right. Eric Bollert, doing the Lord's work as usual. See you next week, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
I hope you're bringing dogs in the room. Why did somebody reform the healthcare system? This is nuts.
We just love Eric Bollard's phone manner because he's always running away from the phone before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll see you.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. See you. Bye.
Okay. Thanks for... See ya. I don't understand why he doesn't just leave his... We'll have to...
You know what,
though? Just leave his mouth next to the phone until he says goodbye.
Stephanie?
Yeah,
yes.
I have to say...
Yes.
...that you kind of do the same thing.
Do I really?
Yes, you do.
Well, I mean, most men can't get off the phone with me fast enough, but I'm just...
No, you kind of do the same, because as you're hanging the phone up and moving the phone away from your mouth, you say goodbye.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
No.
I have to say that.
Eric Bollert was meant for me. All right. Oh, never mind. I was going to make a phone sex joke. That's, see, if you're not done, you got to hang in there. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. That was fun with the Eric Bollard.
Yes,
John,
it was.
By the way, John Fugel saying return is tomorrow, so please join us. John's father just passed away, and so he has been dealing with all of that, and he thanks you for all your kind letters and thoughts. And we emailed back and forth a couple of days ago, and so we're looking forward to having him join us.
Yes, we are.
He will be back in the New York Bureau of the Stephanie Miller International.
He certainly will.
Mm-hmm. Good for him. All right. We await out here in California. The federal judge, as I was mentioning, who overturned California's same-sex marriage ban, set to rule today. Any word what time?
Yes, between 9 and noon today, Pacific time.
Pacific time. Mm-hmm. Fabulous. He's set to rule whether gay marriages should resume immediately, as the governor wants. He said,
do it now on these kinds of things of this nature.
Exactly. Exactly. If it weren't for the gays at the gym, he would have gotten crushed under a bench press years ago. If it weren't for a spot from, you know...
They spotted for me for years.
Yes.
So now I'm spotting for them.
Just saying. All right. So let's do some celebrity stack. Who saw the Rush Limbaugh pictures?
Oh, yeah.
That one made me puke.
I would like all of my pictures in sepia tone, please. From now on. It's just weird, right? They look like little... portraits of some sort of...
Well, they were nice pictures.
They were
of
nice.
His marriage.
A lot of things airbrushed.
Yeah, his marriage. They were nice pictures, but...
He's shown yucking it up with Elton John.
Yeah.
Oh, Elton. Wow, we...
Well, maybe Elton's a right-winger.
I don't think so. I think he's a... I will take $1 million. He will take $1 million, please. A couple of freaking
$1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he also kind of spoke in favor of Arizona's immigration law at a concert in Arizona. Who knows what he is?
Kind of a whore, maybe.
Kind of a man whore is what I'm thinking.
Well, we knew that about him.
Yes. All right. Alanis Morissette is knocked up with her husband of 3 months. She has one hand in her pocket and one bun in the oven. Oh, all right. I don't know. I was trying to find it. There's nothing that went with it. Isn't ironic. It's...
I love D-Listed's headline. She's pregnant with a soul fetus.
Is that her husband's name? What's his... Wait a minute, I gotta find that.
What?
What's her husband's name?
Oh, I don't know.
That's why they said... I can't find it. I gotta go dumpster diving. All right, that's why they... Because his name is something weird like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, all right. Oh, speaking of being with a child, Bill O'Reilly says Jennifer Aniston is sending the wrong message with her recent remarks. Not the wrong message on family values, Jim. Like one would, let's say, a phone sex scandal, which involves a subordinate employee then having to pay them off.
Yeah.
Not that wrong a message, I assume, is what he means. All right. My favorite part, you remember, I have a photographic memory for the Bill O'Reilly sex tape story. I do. I don't retain anything in my head except for the Bill O'Reilly stuff. Let me think back now. Oh, my favorite part was how he went to the Vatican. He went to Rome to bang hot chicks while he was visiting the Pope while his wife was at home pregnant back here in the States.
Yep.
Stateside, as they say.
Those are family values.
Okay. He said single...
Mafia family values. What? Sorry? What?
He said single motherhood is possible, but not optimal. Oh, thank you, Bill. Noted, biologist. Mm-hmm. She's throwing a message out to 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds that, hey, you don't need a guy. You don't need a dad. I don't believe Jennifer Aniston said anything about, hey, 12-year-olds.
No.
Hurry up and have a kid. Mm. He said, you don't need a guy. You don't need a dad. That's destructive to our society. Fox News twink Gretchen Carlson said she's glamorizing single parenthood.
Sometimes you don't have any other choice. And
I so hope the gay marriages start again today in California because Bill O'Reilly will, you know what he'll say. It will be...
humanizing homosexuals.
Humanizes homosexuals.
Exactly.
And along
with... When homosexuals become full humans today in California, it's going to be a bad day for Bill O'Reilly.
And along these same lines...
Yes.
Glenn Beck said on the O'Reilly Factor that gay marriage is not a threat to America.
Wow. What did Bill say? By the way, their relationship's so gay. Oh, my God, even gayer than him and Geraldo.
He's going to wake up with a horse's head. I think.
Yeah. That's, yeah. As my friend Travis said, whenever he agrees with Glenn Beck, it freaks him out.
Yes.
Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Larry King has some thoughts in the latest Harper's Bazaar, and I just like it because it sounds like his old USA Today column.
Kumquats. That's a weird fruit.
King's Things, I think
that
was.
Yeah, here, why don't you just read it, Jim? Yes, was that what it was called?
It's called King's Things.
It should have been called, like, Brain Farts. I loved it. It was just Larry King's Stray Thoughts, which I love. That's what I get in hair and makeup. It's what I get in commercial breaks. It's just...
Now, that's what Twitter is for.
Oh.
It's just stray thoughts.
Yes.
Yes.
I like skirts at the knee or a little above. I'm not into low-cut stuff. I like shoes. My wife, Sean, is tall, but I like heels. I'm not one for flats. I like the total look. A lady who says, I want you, but I'm not making it obvious. Kumquats. Here's a weird fruit.
Okay, he didn't say that. No. That's... That's just something. And did he ever actually write that in King's Things, or do we just think that he did?
Something like that.
It sounds like something he would say.
Yes.
How do you eat them? What is it? Peel them? What do you do?
Is it all a cum or a quat?
Hey!
What? It's a kumquat. What is a kumquat? Is it a cross?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to say the first syllable by itself.
Yes, you are. When it's some things are a cross, like a nectarine or like a, you know what I'm saying? Is it like that?
Is it a grapefruit?
Exactly. What is a kumquat? 58 minutes after the hour. Back with a Scotch Moore Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, I mentioned before the break, we are awaiting the federal judge's ruling on whether gay marriage will resume here in California today. Today already.
Could happen.
So I thought I would do a bunch of a few fun stack stories about straight people.
Oh.
For instance, and how normal they are. The headline is, man tricked woman into changing his diapers.
Oh,
David Vitter again? Oh, no.
Now, earlier I did the story, what was it, the guy that groped the maternity nurse that was wheeling his pregnant girlfriend into the room to have his child.
Yeah.
He was, just copping a quick feel.
Gays made him do it.
Exactly. Look what the homosexuals have done to him already. A 40-year-old man who tricked caregivers into changing his...
Stephanie Miller.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
He tricked caregivers into changing his diapers by pretending he had the emotional maturity of a 5-year-old.
Oh, that old ruse.
Doesn't every man. Apologized to a victim in court before pleading guilty to charges of organized fraud.
Organized fraud? Mm-hmm. How is that organized?
He told caregivers he was incontinent and hired at least two women to feed him and change his diapers in 2009 and then 2008 and 2009 and did not pay them the amount he promised to change his poopy diaper. Oh, that's like a Vitter thing. That's a Senator Vitter thing.
Exactly.
Some guys apparently have a diaper thing. Who knew? That's not not too weird.
What?
Okay, how about this one out of a... Police officer is accused of groping a woman after he said he would arrest her if she did not show him her...
Her cooch?
Her sugar bits?
Her boobies. Boobuses. Yes.
A Provo police officer is a...
Provo,
pardon me. Police officer is accused of groping a woman after...
Provo, Utah.
I wish we could stick with the important part of the story, and that is not the pronunciation of Provo.
Provo.
He's accused of groping a woman after saying he would arrest her if she did not show him her breastises. The woman, 29, was driving when her car collided with another. He arrived at the scene, sent the other motorist away. No, you can go now.
Yeah.
Just the young girl can stay here. He then conducted a field sobriety test. I wonder what those consisted of. No, it's a new test they we have here at the department.
It's a different kind of test.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to breathe right into this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
No, no.
Yes, they have it.
Now you got it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, blow. Mm. You blow.
You're blowing a point .8.
He, was not performing well, so the policeman tried to handcuff her, but he couldn't because of a splint on her arm. He was going to arrest her for a felony or it's sort of like probation or community service, or he offered her the option of exposing her breast to him, which is, you know, it's kind of, it has his own kind of community service ideas.
What community does that serve? A community of one?
Well, him. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The victim stated that she didn't want to go to jail and she was afraid, so she lifted her top and exposed her breast to him.
So she did it?
All right.
I'm just saying, most of us, when given the choice, jail, show me your thing. Okay. Mm. The woman said Westerman then fondled her breasts and made crude sexual comments after the woman replaced her top. Westerman told her he was going to have to explain to his supervisor why he let a DUI drive home and she needed to do it again. Okay. Oh. Okay. How about this guy in Seattle where Mama's going this weekend? Santa Claus burglar. You know this guy? The jury didn't buy it. The judge found the story spun by the so-called Santa Claus burglar that he had become stuck in a chimney while trying to retrieve his backpack. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Oh, really? He didn't buy the first excuse about the light on the tree that was broken?
Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. Hmm? There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop.
Up there, and then I'll bring it back.
I'll fix it up there.
And bring it back here.
Then I'll bring it back here.
Seattle firefighters pulled a naked Chanel from a rough-edged chimney. That doesn't seem wise. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ow. Why would you do that?
It was, according to the police report, unclear why he was naked.
I guess he was being naughty and not nice.
I dare say drugs were involved. Or alcohol.
You know, a lot of the yes on Prop 8 people out here, the gay bashers, it's all about the children, because they were thinking of the children that the gays can't, you know.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
They don't know how to have the children. They don't know how to raise the children. Oh, this one.
Uh-oh.
Pregnant woman charged in fast food robbery attempt. Gun gets caught in her shorts. A drunken pregnant lacrosse woman is accused of... I'm just guessing that she was not impregnated by a lesbian, so I'm... She's accused of trying to rob a Southside fast food restaurant for drug money late Tuesday, but failing when her weapon became jammed in her shorts.
I hate when that happens.
A Taco John's cashier told investigators. Taco John's cashier told investigators a heavyset woman wearing an oversized floral shirt and shorts approached the counter at about 10:40 p.m. and demanded cash. The woman tried pulling a hammer from her shorts pocket, but could not remove the weapon after tugging on the handle. Julie Bailey was arrested a few minutes later with a wooden hammer in her hand after a short foot pursuit. I'm guessing if you're, you know, fat and pregnant and you got a hammer in your shorts, you're not really
running that fast.
You're not really, you know, marrying the, what's her name? Jones. Okay. Officers recovered pink and white slippers believed used during the crime.
Oh, wow.
And that's, thank God.
She's not gay. Have you seen the video of the woman who didn't get her chicken McNuggets?
No.
Yeah, she's at the drive-thru and she's demanding her chicken McNuggets, and apparently it's, you know...
People, they're like crack. It makes people crazy, those nuggets.
Well, apparently this was like 10 in the morning, and at that time of day, they don't make chicken McNuggets.
No matter how loud you yell.
Exactly.
And how drunk you are, they cannot make them at 10 in the morning.
And so this woman got out of her car in the drive-thru, started reaching for the woman behind the counter, and, you know, the people shoved the window closed of the drive-thru, and then the woman starts banging against the window and breaks it and then drives away.
There's something in those things. Yeah. Somebody needs to do an investigation.
Yeah, I think there's OxyContin.
Yeah. I do get annoyed when, have you ever been at like an airport or wherever and you can't get breakfast at like 9:59 in 4 seconds or something? It's like, it's just 10 o'clock now. I know the stuff is still there.
The cutoff is 10:30.
Whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know they have them. See, that, I might go nuts. I might vault over the counter, and I will find me an Egg McMuffin back there.
Why can't you just eat lunch?
Whatever.
Well, I mean, it's that simple.
I'm saying it's not as ridiculous as that. Chicken McNuggets at 10 in the morning. Everyone knows that's a no.
The kid says no.
Although sweet and sour sauce is so good.
Mmm. All right, this will surprise you. This was not Rand Paul. 240 pounds of pot found during a traffic stop.
Wow.
It's like the Cheech and Chong mobile, yeah. Just smoking. Just
bow down to the Aqua Buddha.
Dude, oh my God. Georgia State Patrol officer said a routine traffic stop led to a discovery of $480,000 worth of marijuana. Hi!
Yowza.
They stopped a van for a window tint violation. I'm guessing that wasn't tint, that was smoke. It really was. It was the Cheech and Chong mobile, I'm guessing.
Rand Paul's not here, man.
Dude.
Bow down to the Aqua Buddha.
Bow down to the Aqua Buddha. Just eating some food and running for the Senate. Jay in Detroit. Hi,
oh,
Jay.
Dear.
Jay, it's me. Hello. Okay, I'll just wait here. Hi, Jay. Jay. It's all right. I can wait. I'm not doing anything. What am I doing? All right, I'll put it back on hold. Okay. Okay. You know, some people are a little too casual about calling a national radio show for my taste.
I think
don't you know who I am?
Listening to the radio. And,
all right.
Yeah, that was good radio.
All right. Oh, I'm finishing up a celebrity stack, which also has collided with the crook stack,
okay.
With crime stack in the person of Snooki.
Oh.
She said, I don't know why people are taking it so seriously of her arrest for disorderly conduct. They threw her ass in the drunk tank.
Mm-hmm. And there's video.
Her considerable ass.
They had to make the tank a little. It's like the Shamu tank for this particular.
Yeah.
Snooki will not face any jail time. She said, I'm too pretty to be in jail.
Oh, God.
She does it kind of like an Oompa Loompa, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little...
Well, she's shaped like a cube. She's as wide as she is tall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
She's like a little block.
She's
like
an orange cube.
She's like a, well, yeah, like she's like an orange... Like a Rubik's Cube or like a Rock'em Sock'em robot.
Well,
she's that kind of...
related to John Bonner.
She could be.
Daughter.
She's very upset at Obama, by the way.
Yes, she called the president a liar.
Yes.
Ooh, that's got a sting.
She
is more than upset at him for taxing her beloved tanning bed. Now she's mad about the president's claim that he doesn't know who she is. I know he knows who I am, she told E! Exclamation point.
Oh, they're a paragon of journalism. Mm-hmm.
Why did he have to lie and say he didn't know me? He did say Snooki and JWoww about the tanning stuff, and now he doesn't know who I am? He has to stop lying. Liar.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Wow.
You're a lying
self-absorbed
sack of
crap.
You're a lying scheme. To me, reality people have a little bit of a inflated sense of self-importance.
She's from the Newt Gingrich school of inflated sense of self-importance.
But they're famous for being famous. That's what I don't even get why. Who are you and what?
She's famous for drinking and...
Well, what is your purpose as a, say, a carbon-based life form?
The purpose is to save producers a lot of money on paying for actors.
Oh, Jay's back now. Jay made time for us. He jiggered his schedule around a little bit. Hi, Jay.
My schedule here. Yeah. Hey, let me talk about the psychosis that is the Obama administration and
the what?
The psychosis.
Oh, psychosis.
That is the Obama administration and the psychosis that is the Republican Party. When we have two people exhibiting psychosis or psychotic behavior, that is, remove themselves from reality, we have some problems, and that means the American people have problems. Let me tell you something. Obama, I can't see where this guy's going to be successful because he's removed himself from reality. And what I mean by that,
uh-huh.
I didn't mean to get too serious.
No, that's all right. Well, how is he removed from reality?
Because he, first of all, I'm a captain for an airliner. Every day as a black African-American getting into the cockpit, I have to realize that, hey, this guy may think that I'm not competent to serve. So you have to address those issues, and if you don't address those issues...
Wait, what?
Who?
Who thinks you're not competent to be an airline
pilot? No, you always have to look. Your counterparts or your colleagues, some mostly the white guys, they think you're not competent just by...
How do you know that?
Well, that's... Because that's why we, yeah, you know it.
You know it.
Do they make, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar jokes from, like, Airplane?
Roger.
Actually, they do.
All right, Jay.
Give me the vector, Victor.
Roger. Huh?
Tell your dad to drag his ass up and down the court with Bill Lanier or whatever he said. It's funny. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Mayor John of West Hollywood, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes.
Not sure what that means. Hello, is it, you're the mayor in waiting, right?
I am the mayor in waiting. I'm next in line to be the mayor once again.
How does that work? Is it cycles around like you were mayor and now someone else is and then you'll be mayor again?
The five of us in a small city like West Hollywood take turns being the mayor. It's very gay. Everybody gets
it's really gay.
Everybody
it's
gets
it's such
chance.
A circle. Okay. How long will your reign be?
I will be in office until 2013. So I'll be mayor pro tem this year and then mayor next year.
Sweet.
look out, the homecoming queen's got a gun. All right. Oh, come on, I'm kidding. All right. So this is an exciting day, right? We are waiting to, I imagine, waiting with bated breath in West Hollywood. The judge is going to rule today whether gay marriage will resume, right?
Well, I'm here at City Hall, and all five council members, we've all been deputized to start performing civil marriages again. We already have 600 couples who are ready and want to get married today.
Wow.
And I
that's like turbo gay. That's like put your phasers on turbo gay.
I mean, some of these couples have been waiting a lifetime, and this may just be a short window of opportunity before another judge steps in and stops the marriages. So for a lot of people,
wait,
the freedom trains. We're getting them through as we can.
Wait. Okay, John, so because I was not aware of that. Is that what we're afraid is going to happen, that even if he says yes today, how long are they estimating it would take if they filed again to get a stay?
Well, that's one of the scenarios we've played out, is if Judge Walker lifts his stay, then we have a window of opportunity. We start moving couples through, getting them married as quickly as we can from San Diego up to the North Coast. And then at some point, a judge from the Ninth Circuit or a U.S. Supreme Court justice could put another stay in place and stop the marriages.
Wow. Is that a certainty, do you think?
I don't know if it's a certainty. I think that, you know, there's a lot of good reasons for Judge Walker to lift his stay. I mean, if you read the opinion, his findings of fact were so clear and the law was so clear, there's really no basis, I think, for the other side to prevail at the Ninth Circuit. So I don't see any reason to keep the stay in place. That's what we're hoping. We got 600 couples already signed up. If any of your listeners in Southern California or anywhere in California are thinking about getting married, just know you have to go first to get a license.
You
here in West Hollywood, the Beverly Hills Courthouse, you get a license, and then you bring it to City Hall.
Wow, you snooze, you lose today. It's like a gay assembly line. You're just going to be like, listen, no time for mushy sentiments. Do you or don't you? Good, go, next. It's going to be like the I Love Lucy scene with the
chocolates.
With the chocolate. Hurry.
and that's, in fact, what a lot of couples are doing. They're going to do the civil ceremony today and then one with family and friends later for ceremony.
Right. Oh, awesome. You know, interesting timing, isn't it? Did you happen to see this West Point cadet that just resigned over Don't Ask, Don't Tell last night on television? I mean, just really, it seems to me, just as long as I've been following the political scene, John, like there's just a sort of perfect storm right now, isn't there, of you know, between Don't Ask, Don't Tell and gay marriage that really is moving in our direction, don't you think?
I think so. You know, I've been doing gay and lesbian rights since 1978. It's been a long time, and I have to tell you, we've kind of reached a threshold now where we're having a lot of major breakthroughs in various areas. Don't Ask, Don't Tell, electing gay people to office, the issue of marriage equality, advancements in the treatment of AIDS. I mean, we're working very multiple panels all at the same time right now.
I think Rachel did a thing last night on just, I mean, you know, so many, you know, aspects of the story, but how much it costs the taxpayer to, you know, to train these cadets, you know, all of these, you know, service people, these fine Americans that are lost to us that we've paid, you know, I mean, they're always screaming about the deficit on that one, you know, on that, at least on that issue. And here we go, all these people that we have trained and spent zillions of taxpayer dollars on that are not allowed to serve now.
Including a handful of Arabic linguists. Not like we need anybody who speaks Arabic.
Why would we need that?
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. She ranked ninth in her class. West Point cadet Catherine Miller, she ranked ninth in her class. She said she can no longer comply with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, and her story is really kind of sad. I mean, she said specifically, I've created a heterosexual dating history to recite to fellow cadets when they inquire.
She's lying to people at West Point.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, she said, I can't suppress this entire portion of my identity anymore. It just, I mean, really, but it brings it home, don't you think, John, in just a human way, just like the Prop 8 case has put a face on things, right?
I think so. I think we see the polls that, you know, an overwhelming majority of Americans now support the lifting of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We now have a majority of Californians that want to allow gay and lesbian couples to wed today.
Yep. John, so, I'm so sorry. We're on a hard break, but I will come down and partay. And I'll be the official flower girl if this all goes down today. Thanks.
And bring Chris as the ring bearer.
All right. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How this cheap Kmart hair extension got into the backseat of your car.
I don't know where that came from. That looks like one of your little stringy something or another you got up in your hair.
I do not wear polyester hair, okay? Unlike some people I know, like...
Stephanie Miller.
What? That's not mine. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Seattle, where Mama's going on Saturday. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Are you coming to the big town hall?
Of course.
All right.
Hooray!
Yay! All right, go ahead.
Hey, well, I listen to the conservative guys too sometimes, just to know my enemy.
I understand. Yes.
And it seems like they just suddenly discover vocabulary on certain days. Like there was one day back when they suddenly learned the word dithering. You know,
yes.
That kind of thing.
Yes. Oh, Obama's a ditherer. Yes.
He's a ditherer, tax bomb, and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just seems so well coordinated that I kind of wonder how they go about doing that, the mechanics of it. Like the, I mean, you guys are kind of plugged in. Your ears are on the rails, right? So mm-hmm. do you know anything about how they go about originating these messages and how they disseminate them?
Oh, how it goes around the right-wing blogosphere, and they all use the same. Yeah, yeah, we're too disorganized as Democrats. We can't get anything straight.
Jeff, well, yeah. I mean, obviously, someone decided that we're going to start using the word dithering to have to get into the echo chamber somehow. So I just want to understand the mechanics a bit.
Jeff, it's funny you say that because yesterday, twice, I heard the words noblesse oblige.
Mm-hmm.
From right-wingers. And probably, I'm like, I wonder where that originated.
Probably Frank Luntz.
And so French and gay, too,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I know.
Frank Luntz is a propagandist. I mean, he's into psyops and neuro-linguistic programming. And I think it's probably originating with him. And they send it out.
Yeah. That must have taken a while to get the really stupid right-wingers to be able to pronounce it.
Noblesse oblige.
That little My Fair Lady with Sarah Palin.
Noblesse oblige.
Noblesse oblige. No, you moron.
Oh, it's French. No wonder I can't say it.
Well, they're trying to use those words to describe Obama, and so I think they're trying to paint Obama as being French and gay in people's minds.
Yes, because he has noblesse oblige.
Noblesse oblige. Oh, God, you're just like a right-winger. You can't pronounce it.
He has je ne sais quoi. Actually, now he has ennui, according to the latest polls.
Yeah.
He has lost his je ne sais quoi, according to the latest polls. Yeah, let's look at that.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what all.
Do we have to look at the polls?
Yes.
Okay.
To borrow a line from the film Network, Americans are mad as hell at Washington, and they're not going to take it anymore. That's the conclusion.
I want you to get up right now.
Well, if you feel
you
must.
Go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Or I'm colicky, and I'm just not going to do anything. It's more like that, don't you think? It's the whole, I'm going to take my ball and can stay at home.
It's all tied to the economy.
The economy is
not improving.
That's a bad time. At least that's the conclusion of the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, which finds less than half the country approves of President Obama's job. The percentage believing the current Congress is either below average is among the worst is at an all-time high. The number viewing the Republican Party favorably at an all-time low. And the Democratic Party doesn't fare much better. What's more, nearly 6 in 10 respondents still say the country is headed in the wrong direction. Almost two-thirds think the U.S. economy has yet to hit rock bottom. Yikes.
Paul Krugman was right. Should have gone whole hog on the stimulus.
Yeah.
It was the half measure, and this is exactly what he predicted would happen.
I love this analogy. A pollster said, I think it's a JetBlue election. Everybody is frustrated, and everyone's headed for the emergency exit. Everyone hates everybody's ass face at this point. We are all...
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face!
That's a great analogy.
We are all bastard people in this thing.
We're all frustrated.
But seriously, who can tell what's going to happen in this election? The teabaggers are completely crazy. People are upset. I get, Jim, believe me, it's not like I don't get the upset on the left. I'm frustrated, too. I mean, I'm frustrated. I literally keep saying it's like negotiating with terrorists, with Republicans. But I'm not sure what you do about that.
Well, it's maybe too late, but...
The pollster said people have not turned against the president in a personal way. His overall approval rating is a lukewarm 47%, still enviable to those on Capitol Hill. A combined 60% say this year's Congress is either below average or the worst in history, the highest percentage in the history of the NBC and Wall Street Journal poll. As for the Republican Party, only 24% see it positively, the Republicans' lowest ever rating in the poll. So people are paying attention, is all I'm saying. While 46% see it negatively, for the first time in the survey, the Tea Party has a net negative rating, which Eric Moeller was talking to about us earlier. That I think that is also deflating. I think people, there was a lot of yelling. Everyone was like, yeah, boo, what the hell? What are we yelling? What? Then they don't even know what it's about. 30% now view it positively, 34% view it negatively, as they keep, nominating crazier and crazier candidates. So what's your guess what's going to happen this November?
Wow.
I'm not going to hazard
a guess. If the administration keeps dumping on its base, a lot of liberals are not going to show up.
Yeah.
That's,
Yeah, well, I hope not. I hope not. There's time left to turn this around. Danielle, go ahead.
I'm saying, I mean, the calculation is that they're going for the centrists who helped put Obama in power. But, and maybe the idea is they'll push the right wingers even further off the ledge to the right. But it's a very dangerous strategy to insult the base, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I agree that it was not artfully said, as we say.
Well, that wasn't the only instance of it. I'm
just yeah, no, I know. Danielle in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I wanted to answer that caller's question about where the right-wingers get their, buzzwords for the day.
Right.
I know someone who works in talk radio more on the liberal side, and he says they get those words from the Heritage Foundation. They'll either fax them their talking points for the day, mm-hmm. or they'll email them. So that's where they get them.
Yeah, I used to work in right-wing radio, and we used to get talking points every day from all of these right-wing think tanks.
You know what's
Frank Luntz does too.
Yeah.
You know what's a really fun day is the day that Sean Hannity's the toner goes out when he's getting his facts from the RNC
from
and Mark Levin. Yeah. When
he gets instant messages from Mark Levin. So.
Yeah. And plus, Sean has that little tiny Tic Tac brain and that big brontosaurus head of his.
Yeah. He only repeats what he's told.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Obama invented the deficit. Everything was going swimmingly, and Obama just ruined everything.
What? I just want to see him start reading, and then there's just a big thing of, like, toner smear. Just...
Yeah.
Mark, did I mean to say flank? Okay. What?
Michelle Malkin has written a column about you.
Oh, jeez. What a day. I'm not the one that said I want to kick her in the nutsack. You know, my new best friend, Aisha Tyler, is getting me in trouble left and right. I am not the one that said I want to kick Rush Limbaugh in the vagina, nor Michelle Malkin in the nutsack. It was Aisha Tyler. She's the kid in class that gets me in trouble.
Right. You used to be that kid in class. You.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, the class clown to say, you're not the one that does the stuff. I was the one that would get other people in trouble. I was actually the one that would I would turn around and make Barb Murphy laugh in Spanish class,
mm-hmm.
and then Mr. Dillon would yell at her. And then she would be like, it's not, Stephanie's making me laugh. And then you know what Mr. Dillon said? Well, if you had grades as high as Stephanie, maybe you'd have something to laugh about.
Oh
she hated me forever. I was the smartest girl in class.
Well, second smartest. You were salutatorian.
Shut up!
Well, I'm just saying.
That thieving Donna Biter.
She stole valedictorian right out from under you.
It's not like I hold a grudge or anything.
No, not at all.
I'm like 90 now, and I still remember. What did she write? Do I want to know?
Oh, it's called The Vulgarity of Liberal Female Quote-Unquote Comedians.
Yeah. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, does she include my new best friend, Aisha Tyler?
Oh, of course. She quotes Brian Mulroney, or Muldoney, or whatever his name is, word for word.
Oh, the guy that has the failed radio show.
Oh, had the failed radio show. He no longer has
that
radio show.
Well, you could hear it on a lot of people's fillings.
Yeah.
And then...
Filling.
I wonder if you could only hear it in dentist's office in, like, recently installed fillings.
Kind of like Brian and the Judge?
No, because they don't... They don't use those.
What is up with me?
Metal amalgam fillings anymore.
Jim, I'm setting off the right-wing war on alert system left and right these days. This is the third time this week.
Yeah, and then she says, in a follow-up, an indignant Miller defends her friend's gutter, quote-unquote, humor, and castigates unsophisticated conservatives who do not comprehend their nuance.
Could you tweet her not to get her nutsack in a twist? These are the jokes, folks. Come on, Michelle. Come on, Chuckles. Come on, honey. Lighten up. These are the jokes.
I think Aisha and Michelle did get in a little bit of a Twitter fight yesterday.
Oh, good.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I am such a troublemaker.
You really
this
are.
This week is so much fun.
Aisha's got the reach on her.
Aisha is like, wow.
Yeah.
She can roundhouse her.
Amazon woman.
Yeah.
And Michelle Malkin is about 5'5 and just bitter looking.
Yeah. Why don't they get the jokes? Why? I know. Aisha was hilarious. She's like, "What? I'm going to do violence to their imaginary body parts? How would that be a real threat of any kind?
Well, we're not quite sure that she doesn't have a nutsack.
Did she discuss her testicles at all in this post, or no?
No,
she does not.
Really?
Nor her lack thereof.
Does she discuss being an anchor baby?
She does
as
not.
Well, because I just explained that Aisha would have to probably, if they peel the 14th Amendment out, she would have to go to another country to kick her in the nutsack.
Mm-hmm. The Philippines, perhaps.
She would have to be, exactly. And Aisha has the cash. I think she would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aisha's on a hit television show.
Indeed, she is. She's on Archer.
That's right.
Oh, my God. We're so Thelma and Louise now. We're so BFFs forever.
I printed this story out. It's waiting on the printer out there.
I swear to God.
The
you
comments
know
are the best
here's the,
thing.
Okay, I'm going to make the big announcement now. What? If gay marriage goes forward today, I don't care what Aisha Dyler's husband says. She is meeting me at that courthouse. You heard me, Aisha. You know, Michelle Malkin, if you really wanted to have bipartisan outreach, you would come and be the flower girl. Michelle Malkin, you are invited to come be the flower girl.
Something tells me that she'd kick you in the nutsack before she did that.
Some days I need to give the money back. Yeah. I'm giving the money back today. It's too much fun. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to... Oh, it's like a Valentine. Rebecca just handed me the Michelle Malkin column about me. You're right. They always put comedian in quotes.
Yes. Like that's an insult or something.
Oh, God. You complete me, Michelle Malkin. You really do.
I've met her.
I cannot quit
what
you.
What would we do without anchor babies?
Really? Exactly, Jim.
She's really a sour, sour
is
woman.
She?
Oh, my God.
Mm. Don't get that from her on TV.
Yeah, well, you know how sometimes...
She exudes such warmth on TV.
You know how sometimes, you know, the on-air personalities are different than off-air personalities? Uh-huh. Like Michael Reagan. He's a nice douche on the air. But
yeah.
off the air, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm on Larry King with him all the time. We're like best friends in hair and makeup, and then he's...
But Michelle Malkin is as sour off the air as she is on air. She's just a very unpleasant person to be around.
She's an angry, angry little anchor baby.
Yes.
She's a douche nozzle on air, douche nozzle off air.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ken agrees with Michelle Malkin. He does not care for me. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm in Michigan here, just kind of cruising around the bend, and I ran across your show.
Oh, boy. That never goes well.
Yeah, that's not really going well.
it's not working out for you.
I'm trying to figure out where you're coming from. I suppose this is a liberal show.
Yes.
So I'm kind of...
It's not a liberal show. It's a radio show. I happen to be a liberal.
I'm kind of waiting to hear, some good things about, what Obama and the liberals are doing for us.
Oh, well, they just passed the jobs bill. There's the jobs bill. Robert Gibbs talking about that yesterday. We've talked to... Yes, yes.
When you have 160,000 teachers that are about to be given pink slips, at the time being, that was the more urgent need.
We talked about that today. We talked about that with Congressman Alan Grayson, how the fact that 160,000 teachers get to keep their jobs is a good thing.
That is a good thing.
And then I also did a bunch of fart jokes that you missed.
Yeah, I guess I missed those. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I think you're trying to if you're trying to compete with Rush, I think you
yes.
need a little bit less calories.
We're not
a little more.
Ken, we're
it's,
not.
You know, it's my body weight. It's hard to take that many OxyContin, so I'm not really. It's not really a fair competition.
Plus, we're not really competing
really,
with
I'm
them.
Kind of I'm a middle of the road kind of a voter. I mean, I'll go Democrat or Republican.
No, of course, you listen. Yeah, you like to listen to both sides.
I do, and but I want to get on board, but you got to help me.
Well, Ken, you know, I'm sort of like a fungus. I tend to grow on you. A lot of people hate me with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns when they first tune in, and then I sort of grow on you. You know how like most great love stories, most great movies, you know, you start like hating each other, and this could end up being you know what? You will not be able to quit me. Trust me.
Well, I hope you can turn me.
All right.
She's thank turned you. Many men.
All right. I love you, Ken.
I love you too, Scott.
See, you already love me. Oh, Ken. Mwah. I miss you already. Love you more than air. Can't breathe without you, Ken.
He's now gay.
I love you, wow. And I turned him gay. This is a weird day. Okay. Hey, don't lose the love music now. Michelle Malkin has sent me a Valentine. Don't you think this is starting to get to be a little game? I'm giving them publicity and they give me publicity back. I don't even, and I'm not. We said Aisha and Tyler and I dared them the other day. We were kidding, and they did. Apparently, we made the big time. We were on the Fox News Nation and the Radio Equalizer and the Newsbusters, and we were everywhere.
And now the Michelle Malkin.
Is looking and it's on a heart-shaped piece of paper. The vulgarity of liberal female quote-unquote comedians. Left-wing female comedian by Michelle Malkin.
Oh, she knows you exist.
You had me at hello, Michelle. Left-wing female comedians are proving they can be as crude and stupid as their male counterparts. Who knew that striving for gender equality meant pursuing the dream that one day, someday, liberal women would be able to mock their conservative counterparts' sexuality with the unfettered vulgarity of Andrew Dice Clay? But, first of all, I was not we were not mocking her sexuality in any way.
No.
We were simply commenting on her nutsack.
Which?
And her Schlimmel's vagina. It's not a dip. Huh? Okay. It had nothing to do with their sexuality.
No.
What the hell is that about? Now, via Brian Maloney, investigative reporter. What?
Failed talk show host.
Whatever. Supposed funny women, Stephanie Miller and Aisha Tyler, make genital jokes. And then she has helpfully included the transcript. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
Although they did get something wrong on that.
What? Oh, it was not the Miller producer. That was
no.
Jim.
Yeah.
Yes.
That wasn't me.
Miller, producer, you said this, Jim. I'm not sure which is worse, if he actually believes all the crap he says or if it's just an act. You said that.
Yes.
That was Jim Ward.
About Limbaugh.
That was Jim Ward. That was wrong.
Right.
But then the rest of it, by the way, Michelle, dead on. Good job. Good job on your nutsack and on Rush Limbaugh's vagina. Way to go. Good job. And I'm just saying the fact that Aisha Tyler would brave the parking of the Beverly Center to kick Michelle Morgan in the nutsack shows commitment.
Yes.
And I like that in a gal. In a follow-up, an indignant Miller defends her friend's...
How rough!
Defends her... I'm calling Aisha as soon as I get off the air. Defends her friend's gutter, quote-unquote, humor, and castigates unsophisticated conservatives who do not comprehend their nuance. Oh, I have claimed to be many things. I have never claimed to be nuanced.
No.
Michelle, I am a fart joke comedian. Subtlety, not really my...
You have the subtlety of a sledgehammer.
Yeah. I don't think I... Claimed, I've never
she
claimed
just wanted
nuance.
To get nuance in there because it sounds French.
Okay, here's
the liberals would use.
Okay, and here's the even funnier part. This, I wish we had time.
The comments.
Page. These are Michelle Malkin fans, Jim, presumably.
Mm,
see what others have said. Note from Michelle. This section is for comments from MichelleMalkin.com's community of registered readers. Oh, that's a select group there. It's got to be a group of brain trusts there. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, comments. Tiger Lady said, stupid people say stupid things.
Duh. They're stupid. That's why they say stupid
that's
things.
Not,
stupid.
That's
stupid.
Not nuanced.
Stupid ass, stupid.
You're stupid duty head.
All right. Well, she just got the ball rolling there.
Okay.
Let's see. Arizona Neanderthal. Oh, I guess he's proud of it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is nice. This is a little threat of violence. We might want to send that along to the FBI.
All right.
Oh, for the day when strong fathers, brothers, uncles, and such would merely pound the devil out of such foul mouths. That's what I need, a good belt. Apparently, I don't have a...
I'm sure your father...
I can call my brother and ask him if he'd like to fly here. And
your brother tried to hang you once.
Well, it's a time ago. Hit a girl? Call my family members such names, and you can bet the farm on it.
Huh.
Call the police? Give me a jury trial, please. Oh, he doesn't think any jury would convict him if he were to...
kick you in the nutsack?
He didn't threaten to kick me in the nutsack. He just wanted to pound the devil out of me.
Pound! Stupid! You stupid! Kill! Die! Pound!
Oh, you know what? That activated Tiger Lady again, who's already back.
Oh!
By the way, I've never heard of either of these women. Oh, Tiger Lady, that hurts. Ouch. Kathy Griffin has made a career out of being outrageous and vile. Someone has made the mistake of telling her that her brand of humor is funny. It is funny. She's hilarious.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Sorry, Kathy, you're not even a bug bite on the butt of the world. How did Kathy Griffin get dragged?
She was mentioned in Michelle's column.
She got dragged under the Steph and Aisha bus.
Yeah, about the Scott Brown daughters.
Hmm. All right. Well, you know what? We'll get to the rest of those tomorrow. You know what? I think I'm going to frame this.
Stupid liberals!
Stupid!
Beat, punch, beat, hit!
Hit!
Gar! Stupid! Pound! Devil! Pound.
Listen, I'm impressed that there's that many disposable thumbs at MichelleMalkin.com. Stupid! Hit her! All right, we'll have the rest of that tomorrow, because what's not fun about that? Nothing.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be more comments.
Bring it!
Yeah.
Bring it on!
Oh, yeah.
I love you, Michelle.
Hit stupid.
If gay marriage goes through, call and see if she wants to marry me later today.
You can get gay married to Michelle Malkin.
Girl can dream. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.